You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Contemporary Sermon Series, led by Reverend John Wayne McMahon in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
Friends, as you're finding your seats, let me encourage you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll have that on the screen, but also I'd love for you to see what we're working through. So if you have your Bibles or smart devices, feel free to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did, and they were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks in this moment for your presence in this place. And I pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of this scripture. Will you encourage us, fill us, convict us where it's needed, and send us out. And I pray for myself, will you speak through me or in spite of me, but may it be your message that's delivered. We love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God will never give you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard this before? Perhaps when you were faced with something difficult and some well-meaning person came and spoke this over your difficult circumstances. God will never give you more than you can handle. I was at seminary a couple years ago and I was dying in the midst of Hebrew. Literally felt like I was dying. And I remember at seminary, a person came to approach me in the library, well-meaning person. And they said these words, God will never give you more than you can handle, saying, suck it up because you should be able to get through this, right? And that's a silly example, but how many times have we heard that in really difficult situations, in really hard situations that we may face? And maybe, let's be honest, maybe we've said it ourselves because we've kind of bought into this. I think that I probably have, that God will never give you more that you can handle. Do you know where in the Bible it says this? Have you ever found that in scripture? Because I looked and looked and I can't find anything that says this in any way, except most of the time when you're searching for it, this is attributed to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Paul saying he will never give you more temptation than what you can bear. And so that's then translated that he'll never give you more than what you can handle. And as I researched as well, this saying is actually attributed to Mother Teresa. She's known of saying this quote, I know God won't give me more than I can handle. I just wish he did not trust me so much, right? That's attributed to Mother Teresa. And over the years, this understanding or this quote has then been applied to 1 Corinthians 10. And simply put, I don't think I agree with this statement for a couple of reasons. Number one, I wonder if sometimes we do face more than we can handle by ourselves. I wonder if we, going through life on this journey, may walk through circumstances that are just way too much for us to handle when we're all alone. And I think that that's something that we need to put before us as well. And number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 seems to be talking about temptation, not these mountains of obstacles that we may face in life. And so in this out of context series, context is everything as we look at 1 Corinthians 10. And if you're wondering, if I've noticed, I have, 1 Corinthians 10 is weird, okay? There's a lot of weird stuff going on. The destroying angel and people dying with snakes and all of that stuff. And so I want to work through some of that. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, who are you to disagree with Mother Teresa? In my defense, I think she would absolutely agree with this idea that sometimes life is too hard apart from God's faithfulness in our life. And with all the research that I've done over this week, I can't find any reference to where she actually says this. I can't find the context. I can't find it anywhere. And many scholars think that this was attributed to her so that it would gain more movement in the world. And so, and she may have, okay, so y'all don't judge me here for hating on Mama T, but I'm pretty sure that this is not something that she'd say. Or if she did, stretched to this context of God will never put before you something that's too much, I just don't think she would agree with that. So first I want to talk about this out of context saying in light of Paul, and then spend some time wrestling with what exactly Paul is even saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. To understand if Paul actually believes that God would never give you more than you can handle, we can quickly go to the second letter to the Corinthians and see that maybe Paul doesn't actually believe that at all. In the first chapter of the second letter, he writes this in verses 8 through 10. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. He's talking about his mission and the difficulties they faced. He continues, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hopes that he will continue to deliver us. So look at these verses. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to even endure, so that we despaired life itself. Does it sound like Paul would sign off on this, God will never give you more than you can handle? Probably not. And I ask you today, as we think about this, when have you felt you were in a situation that was far beyond your ability to endure? That we can walk alongside Paul and go, yeah, life can be tough sometimes. He continues in this verse, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Have you ever found yourself in such a desperate situation that there seemed like there was no hope at all? Complete desperation. But the good news, Paul writes in verses 9 and 10, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, on the God who defeats death itself. See, friends, I think lack of hope and desperation is found when we rely on ourselves alone and not on the God who raises the dead, not on the God of resurrection, the God of redemption. That's where we find hopelessness and desperation. So perhaps God will allow more to come into your life than you can handle by yourself. So if that's not what this text is saying, then what is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talking about? Well, see, Paul is drawing the attention of the church in Corinth to their history, to the Israelite history that they stand on. He's looking back to the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, wandering in the desert, and he is calling the church to understand that they too are in this story. And I think today we are called to say we too are in this narrative that's taking place. That even as the Israelites walk through a wilderness, they need to remember the faithfulness of God. Even as the church in Corinth may be walking through a wilderness, it seems Paul alludes, please trust and lean into the faithfulness of God. Even as people at KUMC or whatever you're walking through may be walking through some kind of wilderness or desert, please lean into and trust the faithfulness of God. First, Paul talks about the victories and the blessings that the Israelites have experienced. He says this in our scripture, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate at the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from them the spiritual rock that accompanies them. One scholar asks us to look at it this way, like Israel in the Old Testament, we too have received many spiritual privileges. In the same way that Israel was under the cloud, meaning the cloud that led Israel throughout the wilderness over and over again, we too have experienced God's protection and guidance. In the same way that Israel passed through the sea, we have passed through death to life. John chapter 5, verse 24. In the same way that Israel was baptized into Moses, we have been baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. In the same way that Israel ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. Friends, what Paul is drawing their attention to is that the faithfulness of God starts with the spiritual privileges that God has put in your life, that he's provided for all of us. And then Paul describes some really weird things, right? These three temptations that the Israelites fell upon. And so I know that these are odd, and I can't flesh them out completely, but we can see very quickly that Paul is remembering something that is in the Israelites' past. Verse 7 says this, "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry." He is referencing exactly what happened in Exodus chapter 24 as Moses is up on the mountain and the people with Aaron begin to lose patience and they decide to make their own gods. And they gather all the jewelry together and they make this golden calf. Have you ever heard this story or seen this before? That they made their own gods in this place. And so Paul is saying the Israelites fell into this idolatry of replacing God with their own god. And so here's the temptation before him. The second one, verse 8, we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And we can see that this is another form of idolatry. It's referencing the Israelites that were having unmarried relationships. You know what I'm talking about? Coloring together with people when they weren't married, right? That he's drawing our attention when he says 24,000 die in that point. He's drawing our attention to exactly what happens in Numbers chapter 25 as the Israelites started to believe that the grass was greener on the other side, and they went away from God's faithfulness and towards what they wanted. And then finally, the third one in verse 9 and 10, we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Weird, right? Killed by snakes. But that right there is a direct reference to what's taking place in Numbers 21:6. When the Israelites are in the wilderness, they begin to complain to God. God, why have you brought us here? Why did you even take us out of slavery in Egypt and give us this crappy food? I want something better than bread from heaven, okay? It's not good. It doesn't have taste. I want fajitas is what they're essentially saying. I want more than this. And they immediately forget what all God has done to bring them to this point. So as they're wandering through the wilderness, they begin to grumble. And this is what Paul is trying to warn the church at Corinth. See, in this scripture, we see temptation as the key word, right? That we are not tempted more than what we can bear. The Greek word, I won't bore you with it, is about trials and testing and can refer to deception. So can you see how the Israelites were deceived to believe that what God has for them is actually not enough? So Paul's warning the church in Corinth, do not fall into the deception of temptation that what God has given you is enough to believe and to walk with him. I think this entire context is about idol worship. Paul is telling the church in Corinth, who might be walking through a wilderness, to not fall into the temptation of idolatry. So I put before us, where is it that we fall into the temptation of idolatry? In the first one that he lists, he says, don't make your own gods. Where is it that we make our own gods? Is it money? Is it things that are good like family and career and success? Do we replace God with the religion about God? Fill our calendar with all kind of spiritual activities, Bible studies and this and that, and yet forget the relationship that's been provided for us and through God and through Jesus Christ? Do not make your own gods. And the second warning, do not walk away from God's promises because you believe the grass is greener on the other side. We could talk specifically about sexual immorality, because what is sexual immorality other than not trusting that what God has given you is enough? What God has given you through your spouse or through what you are experiencing in life is enough. And so he says, do not turn to this idea, this deception, that the grass is greener on the other side. And the third temptation, do not take lightly the provisions that God has given you. Friends, I challenge you to keep perspective as you walk through temptation and trials and tribulations. Will you keep perspective of what exactly God has already given you in your life? Because as we walk through those, we start to look at our circumstances and how we fall short, and we forget that God has brought us to this moment. And so the challenge to the Israelites, the challenge to the church of Corinth, is to keep your eyes off of yourself. Don't get lost in this tunnel that is dark, but I want you to see that God has called you, that God has provided for you, that God is still with you. God is faithful, the scripture says. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. For some reason, when we misquote this text and pull it out of context, we miss the most important part. The very first three words, God is faithful. He will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. Paul, in another part of 2 Corinthians, is talking about the thorn in the flesh. Have you ever heard that text where he is asking that God would take away this thorn in the flesh? He says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So friends, I challenge us today, where are we trading God's creation for the Creator? Where are we replacing God with material things and short-term satisfaction? Where are we cheating on our relationship with God, even if it's with good things? Paul in this letter is calling upon the church of Corinth, and I think to us, to see ourselves in the story of God's faithfulness. It's so important that we understand that this is not some foreign text that we just study, but we've actually been called to be a part of this narrative. That we stand on the shoulders of the Israelites, and y'all, they fell short over and over and over again. But this warning to Corinth is the same warning that we have to ourselves, that God is faithful, even when we're not. So don't turn to those other cheap replacements. To remember how he rescued us from sin and death is key. How he brought us into the family, and how he delivered power to us by the Spirit for us to walk through adversity and difficulty. The Christian walk is not rainbows and butterflies, right? It's not believing in him and everything will be easy. What's the first thing that Jesus does as he comes into his ministry? He goes out into the wilderness to face temptation, to walk through that which we have to walk through. And he conquers it. And he promises to be with us. The Christian walk is not rainbows and butterflies. It's so much more. Sometimes we'll face more than we can handle by ourselves. We will. Sickness and illness, devastation, wrongs by other people. We can face these things. And I'm here to tell you, friends, that this idea that you can handle it by yourself will get you nowhere except a broken heart. So lean into the God that says, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes we will face more than we can handle by ourselves, and sometimes we will fall into temptation. Replacing the God who rescued us with the material things and the short-lived satisfactions. So today, return to him, the God who loves you, the God who desires a relationship with you. I realized something this summer. Let me be honest for a minute. Let me air some dirty laundry. I've really been busy and traveling a lot. Usually the first thing that happens when I'm busy or traveling a lot is I stop going to the gym and I stop eating the way I want to, right? Anybody else in here? Don't leave me alone. Come on, I see a few of you. That's the first thing that goes off of the calendar. I like to sleep in a little bit, right? Because I'm tired. I like to eat that because I've earned it, right? Usually I realize that it's so hard for me to get back into it, right? I feel like that I need to right the ship before I go back to the gym, that I need to ease into this, right? Lest I go and pick up those weights and find out how far backwards I went. And I think that we do this with our faith, that when we fall away and we begin to replace God with these things in our life, this word idol worship is lost on us. But if we think about the things in our lives that we replace God with, that's what idol worship is. And we feel like we got to right this ship before we go back to him. That we've got to get all these things straight before I go back to the gym. And that's not the case, y'all. That's not the message of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The message is that God is faithful even when we are not faithful. We push God aside. We replace him with other things. Sometimes even good things like family and career or religion. And then we think we need to get it all together before we return to him. And maybe this morning is that opportunity to return to him, to confess. To confess to those times and those things that we replace him with. I believe in a God who is faithful and is faithful to meet us in this moment. To tell you that what you're walking through that feels too much, you don't have to carry it by yourself. I'm with you. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this truth, that you are faithful even when we're not. So Lord, as we approach your table, as we approach your presence and receive from you once more, I pray that you would bring provision and protection for those in need today. That where we're feeling inadequate and not enough, would you bring love and grace that is sufficient for anything that we face? Where there is chaos, will you bring peace? And where there is hopelessness, will you show us in the ways that we have not been leaning into you? God, we give you thanks. It's in Jesus' name, amen.